All right, let's welcome to the studio, Alessia Cara. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. New album is out, The Pains of Growing. What inspired all the songs on this one?
Well, I think a bunch of different factors and experiences inspired this. I haven't put out an album in 3 years. So, I mean, a lot just happens to anybody in 3 years, I think. But me in particular, after releasing my first album, my life really changed in so many ways. And I think that called for so many different experiences and different feelings that I'd never felt before, that I just really wanted to write about.
Did you find it frustrating in that 3 years that you weren't putting new stuff out?
I kind of actually, yeah, because I mean, the way that I express myself is usually through writing. And because I was on tour so much and I didn't really have the chance to just sit down and figure out what I was feeling and write about it, everything kind of just became more pent up, and it was frustrating because I didn't know how to get it out and I didn't have the time to properly get it out. So that was kind of frustrating. But, and also I think it was probably frustrating for the fans too, because I hadn't released any new music, but now they finally get new stuff.
Well, and the new stuff, the lyrics are pretty personal. Are these all things that you experienced in real life? Did you pull from other sources?
Every song but one is based off of my own experiences and my own relationships, whether they're with other people or with myself. But there's one song on the album, Out of Love, that I actually wrote for and about a friend of mine who was going through a breakup. So that one, with the exception of that one, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. There's been a lot of reviews. There's a headline in the New York Times that said young, gifted, and bummed out.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself as bummed out?
I mean, I was going through a period of time where I was bummed out, but I don't think that that's the case. I've actually read a lot of reviews that are similar to that. There was one, I believe Rolling Stone said something about like the fact that I am eloquently complaining, which is strange because I mean, I think that going through things isn't complaining. I think it's just going through things. But people just have to, I guess, put labels on things in order to make them make sense in their brains. So that's fine. But I guess for a period of time, I was a bit bummed out. You could say that.
Was Growing Pains, or sorry, the Pains of Growing, was that always going to be the title?
Yeah, I actually was going to call it Growing Pains at first, but then I realized that there are a lot of albums called Growing Pains, one of them being Mary J. Blige's very famous album. So I was like, eh. And I really like albums that sound like storybook titles almost, and like novels. And because this whole album visually is very much like a storybook, it looks like, you know, cartoony almost. There's like the big suit, there are, you know, bright colors, the yellows, the purples. It just felt like a storybook. So I thought The Pains of Growing kind of felt like an appropriate title.
Okay. And so the album's out now. Leading up to it, did you feel a lot of pressure sort of working on this one? Because you were going to follow up, you know, Scars to Your Beautiful, which was a huge hit and all of that. Was there a lot of pressure put on you for this one? Or did you put a lot of pressure on yourself?
Not really in terms of it being my second album, because I think if you do that, you're going to go into it already negatively. I think for me, the pressure lied in the songwriting, because I really wanted to prove to people that I am a songwriter and that I'm a good songwriter. I think when people see other people's names on your projects, they just assume that you didn't do any of it, or, you know, that you're incapable of your own, you know, success. So for me, it was to prove to myself and to everybody else that I am a good writer and that I'm capable of doing it on my own, which I did. So it's cool.
The first single is Growing Pains. Mm. What was the most painful part of growing over the last 3 years?
Wow. I mean, a bunch of different things. I think I went through a lot of different situations at the same time that caused me to grow up and learn a lot about not only myself, but about people and the fact that we can all be a bunch of things at once, and that's okay. And just kind of figuring out who I am and finding my footing totally on my own and having to be on my own in so many different scenarios and like learning how to be comfortable with that, I think.
Trust My Lonely is getting a lot of buzz as well.
Yeah.
What's the story behind this song?
The story behind this song comes from me feeling insecure about writing the album by myself. So initially, I was feeling insecurities because, I don't know, I was just wondering, like, I don't know if I'm, like, am I able to do this? Am I capable of doing it? And then I felt like there were a lot of secret naysayers around me that were just like wanting me to do well, but weren't sure if I was going to be able to do it, you know? So, and I felt that vibe. So going into it, I was a little bit nervous and I wanted to get rid of those feelings because I felt like if I would go into it with nerves, then I would just make a bad product. So Trust My Lonely came from initially me telling myself to trust myself to write the album on my own. And then from there, I started thinking about, you know, all my other insecurities and other aspects of my life and wanting to let them go. And I thought it would be an interesting way to do it by just taking all those insecurities and writing about them as if they were a person, you know, and breaking up with them as if they were a person, you know, or someone that was toxic in my life. And so I did.
So writing's very therapeutic for you.
Definitely, yeah.
I mean, you pour a lot of yourself into these songs.
Absolutely, yeah.
Do you ever regret putting something into a song?
No, not really, because if I ever regret it, I just don't release the song. Like, I think the beauty of, yeah, the beauty of like curating and writing your own album is that you choose what goes on it and what doesn't. And if there's ever something that's too personal, I just won't put it out, you know? Or if there's something that I feel like helped me, but won't really be beneficial to anyone else, I just keep it to myself. But who knows, maybe down the line when it's not too sensitive anymore, I'll release it.
Do you have a favorite song on the album? Have you picked one?
It does change a lot. I do think 7 Days is probably my favorite. I think after listening to it a bunch more and performing it now for the first time the other day, I think it's my favorite.
You talked about not releasing songs that may not, they may help you, but when you were writing it or actually recording it, but it may not help someone else out there. Mm-hmm. So what do you hope that fans actually do take away from this album?
Well, I think if they take anything away, that's great. That's the goal for, I'm sure, a lot of writers and artists, is for people to be able to apply their own lives to your life, you know? And while these are very much personal experiences and things that I've gone through, I think we've all gone through very similar things, even though they come in different forms. Like, every feeling is a feeling everyone has felt before, you know? So I think people are bound to connect to things when they're honest.
That makes sense. Your album release party at our iHeartRadio Theater, mm-hmm. You got a little emotional.
Yeah, a little. Only like four times.
What were you thinking about in that moment?
Man.
Or in those moments.
In those moments, yeah. I cried like at least 3 times on stage and then like twice off stage. It's tough because I think I'm just so overwhelmed for many reasons. One side of that is just, you know, releasing this album that I've worked so hard on and going through these things that were so hard and now overcoming them and being on the other side of it and knowing that these songs are now going to help people. It's really just emotional because I never thought I was going to get out of those feelings. And then also just the fact that I've made it here and that people still care, you know, and people were there showing up for me. And I don't know, I just feel very
'cause they wanted
lucky.
To see you.
Yeah.
They wanted to hear the songs.
Exactly. And that's really awesome.
I know you took a break from social media for a while.
This recent time was literally 24 hours. The time before that was a month, but this time it was a one day.
you are back now. Have you changed the way you sort of interact with fans online at all?
Well, this time I was planning on initially going away for a while, but then I realized, you know, this is album time and all the fans are super excited. And this time is supposed to be interactive for them and it's supposed to be fun. And I didn't want to let my sensitivity to backlash or whatever get in the way of that. That's why I came back so early. And I think I don't want to change the way I interact with the fans, but I have changed personally just the way that I go about social media. And I've like, even if it's just little things like blocking certain accounts or blocking certain keywords, like I have found out that there's a feature where you can block words, like you block yourself from seeing any words on your account. So I just blocked a bunch of words that seem negative so I don't ever have to see them. And just like limiting my time on there and knowing that the fans will understand, you know, when I need to take a break. And I don't think I'm going to announce that ever again because it became news. I didn't know that. Sometimes I forget my position and I forget that the things that I say can become articles and news.
People make a big deal out of it.
Yeah, and I was like, I really didn't think it was a big deal, but now it's a big deal. So I just, next time, just won't make a big deal.
Just stop tweeting and stop
posting. Yeah, exactly.
Posting,
but I just didn't want to, I just don't want to leave the fans hanging. So I wanted to explain myself, but I realized you don't have to explain yourself all the time.
I think it was a tweet. Someone was talking about you getting emotional during the album release party. Mm-hmm. And you responded and said those were happy tears.
Yeah.
Do you think people have a tendency to try to, I don't know, sort of
build a story.
Yeah, like distort what's really happening and build a narrative that's completely false online for you?
Absolutely, yeah. I think whether it comes from misunderstanding or just like purposely trying to fabricate something. I mean, stories and news is how people stay engaged, kind of unfortunately for the people on the other end, like me. But yeah, that's that's the world we live in nowadays. Everything has to be a story, and a lot of it is not always true. And I think even with this, like with me leaving, it's like, she left because of backlash from the Grey Cup, and she was crying on stage because she was sad. And it's like, no, I left because of just mean people that had nothing to do with the Grey Cup, and I was crying because I was happy.
Do you find it hard not to respond to some things you see?
Yeah, because some things are so inaccurate that it just boggles my mind, and I feel like I almost have to say something.
Because you want the truth out there.
Yeah, you want the truth out there, and I just want to call that person out for being so ignorant, but it's not even worth it. You just realize over time that they're not going to stop, and they don't care about what you have to say, because they're just trolls that feel bad about themselves that, you know, want to bring you down with them, and you just got to hope that they'll be okay and just, you know, try to be okay yourself.
What's in store for 2019? You're going to tour?
Yes, definitely. I don't know exactly when. I'm trying to figure out routing and stuff and places to go. I do want to travel all over, but and I have to rehearse first. So once I'm off this Jingle Ball tour, I'm going to get into rehearsal and then see what happens.
Do you enjoy doing the Jingle Ball shows?
I do. I mean, the first couple years were so nerve-wracking because I had never done arenas and stuff. But now that I'm used to it, this is my fourth time, I think. I'm used to it. So it's just fun now.
Do you get excited sort of checking out some of the other artists that are performing as well?
Oh, 100%. I think that's actually my favorite part, to be honest, because I'm a music fan first. So getting to just go out there and watch everybody is the best.
You said you're a fan of music. So you like a lot of the other artists out there.
Yeah.
And you just covered Ariana Grande, right?
I did. Yeah. The cover's not out yet, but I did a cover of her song Breathing for BBC Radio, which I'm really excited about. I hope that she likes it, because I mean, she's has one of the best voices on the planet. So
when you do that, do you feel the need to sort of try to sound like that artist, or you try to make it your own always? Like, you just want to make it your own.
Absolutely. I actually try to avoid sounding like the artist, right? Because that just wouldn't be a cover. You would be impersonating them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's karaoke.
Exactly. It's karaoke. I try to make them a little bit different. We stripped it down and made it like very piano. I just hope I did it justice, because here's a little old me with my not up to par voice compared to her.
After Jingle Ball, what are the holiday plans? What are you doing for Christmas, the rest of the year?
Christmas? New Year's? I don't know what I'm doing for New Year's. Christmas, I'll be home, which is awesome. I'm just going to get to spend some time with my family. And then on New Year's, I don't know, I might be performing somewhere. I might be at home. I'm not sure yet.
All right, so last thing, I'm going to put you on the spot. These are quick questions, quick answers.
Oh, no, okay.
Most underrated holiday song?
Oh, easy. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
Right?
Easy.
Favorite holiday movie?
Ugh, is it cheesy to say Home Alone? That's probably the cheesiest thing to say, like, Home Alone.
That's Nicole's favorite movie.
I love that movie, but I feel like it's so cliche because everyone says
Everyone says it. We do get that answer a lot.
But there's a reason. And also, Christmas with the Cranks was really funny.
We've gotten that one too. And then we also get Die Hard a lot.
Oh, that's like a thing. It's like that debate. Like, is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Apparently it is. So,
I guess.
New Year's resolution.
New Year's resolution is to stop putting myself down when people compliment me. I'll just say thank you. Because I just always have the urge to be like, really? But
like, try to play it off. Down.
Yeah, not even play it off, because I really don't believe them. But I'm going to try to just say thank you, even if I don't believe it.
Favorite holiday tradition?
Favorite holiday tradition is probably opening the gifts at midnight instead of Christmas morning.
And candy canes or gingerbread?
Depends. I do like a good gingerbread cookie, but candy canes are nice too. Maybe gingerbread.
Alessia Carr, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.